Many years ago, when our children were all basically under six, Donna and I were serving in a church in Northern California when her father had his second major heart attack. And we were literally hundreds and hundreds of miles away and felt kind of helpless and neither wanted to do responsibility to the family. And a church in Southern California, less than 30 or 40 miles from Donna's folks, asked us to come be their minister. We took that as a sign of God saying, here's how you can make it all happen. And we probably didn't ask the right questions before we went to that church. The reason I say that is because after accepting that church, one of my friends called me and said, you realize that being a leader in that church is going to cost you your spiritual life in Christ. And I just kind of dismissed because I was young and dumb and didn't know any better. The first Sunday I was at that church, the chairman of the elders and the chairman of the housing committee, the two people that had recruited me, said, now that we know the church is in good hands, this is our last Sunday. Okay. 2 days later, at my first elders meeting, they said, have you fired the youth minister yet? No, I didn't know I was supposed to do that. A few days later, I had a very interesting situation. Three of the men asked if they could meet with me, and they met with me at a very nice place. And they said, you know, sometimes the church has had a little bit of financial problems, and we're here to say that we are going to guarantee your financial salary. In fact, we will give you a check every week equal to your salary. Well, when you've got four children, that sounds really nice. They said, all you have to do is tell us what's going on in the elders' meeting so that we know what's happening. Well, I recognized that as a bribe and said, no thanks. Some of the other things that began to happen in that church was that the members of the church began to complain a lot. There is a lot of older people in the church. The problems in the church seem to be just non-ending. I had friends of mine said, as a result of what they were saying, they would never serve as a leader in any church again. After several years of infighting in this church, the elders got together one night, and we decided that we would have a retreat, and we would try to figure out what was wrong, what was going on, what was the pattern. The elders decided after meeting for about 36 hours that this church was a group of sheep which were absolutely determined to be rebellious, not sit under the authority of either Christ or his leaders. And so the elders at that retreat said, we are all going to resign tomorrow. And the next Sunday in worship service, they all resigned. And the people in the church, many of them stood up and applauded. And then they said, Robin, this church is now in your hands. And I, thanks. Well, not knowing what else to do, I called three or four of my friends. All have pretty good churches. And I said, can I borrow some of your leaders for a few months and put an interim leadership team together? And they did. And that leadership team began to meet, and they began to go over many of the same things our elders had gone over. And they determined that the only way to save that church was to literally close its doors. And 3 months later, they shut the doors to the church. They asked the people to disband and disperse to many other churches in the area. They waited a year, and then they opened it as an ethnic church to that particular community. It was a church full of problems. Now, the second church I want to tell you about was a church in La Harpe, Illinois. This church had its ups and downs, but serving with those leaders was probably the greatest time of ministry I've had in my life. We would often close our elders' meetings with up to an hour in prayer for the people of the church and for one another. I actually got to the point where I looked forward to going to elders' meetings. Ministers rarely say that. But I looked forward because that turned out to be the spiritual highlight of my week, was gathering together with those men who cared so much for their people. Now, there were two churches, two very different elderships. Both had great elders. But what made the difference between the two? It was the way the members of the church responded towards the leaders that God had given them. And that's why we are going to be in our series on growing God's church, God's way. We're going to examine something that literally I've never heard taught in a church. And that is, how are the members of a church supposed to respond to the leaders of a church? Now, am I preaching this because there are so many problems here? And we... No. It's just that if we're going to do all the things that God wants us to do to build His church, if we were to leave this out, there'd be a hole. And we would not be able to build the church effectively. And so for the next 2 weeks, we are going to examine the subject of leadership. Not what leaders should be, but we're going to examine what should our response as brothers and sisters in a church, what should our response be to God's leaders? Now, there's actually six responsibilities that we as members have. We're going to look at the first three this morning, and we'll show with you a little bit the next three next week. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. We see the first two responsibilities if we are to experience that joy and unity that God wants His church to experience. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13 reads, "Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another." In verse 12, Paul says the first responsibility that we have towards the leaders of the church is that we are to respect them. And the word respect means that we could just as easily translate it to know or to appreciate. And the idea that our respect or the attitude with which we treat our leaders is based on our knowledge of them. Especially when it comes to their walk with the Lord. Now, isn't that natural? Doesn't your respect for someone grow the more you get to know them? The more you understand what trials and struggles that they have gone through to get to this point in their walk with the Lord. But Paul doesn't just tell us to respect our leaders. He tells us three reasons why they deserve our respect. The first, in verse 12, he says, "We ask you to respect those who, quote, work hard among you." Now, the verb that Paul uses for work hard is associated with manual labor. It's the word that would be if a person is doing construction or farm work outside and that sweat is just pouring off them. He equates the leading of a church with that very difficult, hard work. Now think of some of the things that a leader of a church is asked to do. They're asked to visit the sick and to counsel those who are troubled. They're to instruct people in the way of the Lord. They're to diligently pray for the people in the church and in the community. They are to be engaged in spiritual warfare with the greatest enemy the world has ever known. They're to give sacrificially of their time and their energy and their finances to the kingdom of God and the people of the church. They're to be literally the role models of the Christian faith. No leader is perfect. But I will say that I have been blessed. So many of the men that I've worked with, I can literally say to someone in the church, if you will follow the Lord as such and such does, your life will be better off. Not necessarily perfect, but if you follow, that's what it means to be a role model. These are the men that are to step out in faith in ways that bless the church and bless us. And that is hard work. And that's why Paul says they deserve our respect. The second reason that Paul says they deserve our respect is because they are, quote, over us in the Lord. Now, it's true that godly leaders in the church are to do their job by being a servant leader, serving the members of the church. Their leadership is to be characterized by humility and gentleness, like a mother hen shepherds her flock. But at the same time, we have to also remember that these leaders hold a position of God-given authority within the church. A great relationship is like that of a parent over a child. Because parents love their children, what do? They willingly sacrifice and give of themselves so that the children will be better. They go to great lengths to make sure that the needs of the children are taken care of. But any parent, there's going to be times when that parent still has to say, I'm not going to be your friend. I need to be your mom. I need to be your dad. I need to be that authority figure that says, this is the way that's right, and this is the way that you need to follow. God wants the church to be filled with men who have that ability. To serve us, yes. To gently lead us, yes. But there are times when they must be the parents. There are times when, just like we as children will go astray, God has said, these are the leaders in the church who must at times admonish you. They must at times lift you before the Lord. They must say, you're hurting other people and yourself because of your sins and your choices. And that's when they work with us and restore us. Now, as any parent knows, it takes a lot of time and effort and love to restore that child to where they should be. What would be the easiest thing for a parent to do? You did wrong. See ya. There's the door. Goodbye. That wouldn't do the child much good. Same thing with church. There are times when the hardest thing for a church leader to do is to lovingly lift that person up and admonish them and correct them and rebuke them, because it would be so much easier not to be involved in their life. But just as a parent cannot stand by and watch their own children hurt themselves, a true leader cannot stand by and watch a member of the church hurt themselves either. And that's why we need to respect our leaders all the more when they have to exercise that difficult authority. Verse 13 says, we do more than respect our leaders. We are to live in peace with them. And the idea here is that, how do we behave towards our leaders? Rather than stirring up dissension in the church by questioning every motive, every decision, everything the elders do, Paul says that we need to be lifting them up. We need to live in peace with them by the things we do, by the things we say, by the way we respect, by our attitude, by everything we do towards these men and women. We are to live in peace with them. The third responsibility we have towards the leaders of our church is found in 1 Timothy 5, verses 17 and 18. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those who work as preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out grain, and the fact that the worker deserves its wages. We've already seen that we are to respect the men that lead the church, the elders in this church. But sometimes they are worthy of a double honor as well. The first honor is that of respect. The second honor, Paul begins to talk about, if you're going to do your job right, you have to put a lot of time into it. And especially when you begin to preach and teach the word, you have to put a lot of study and a lot of effort. Just think about some of the things an elder is asked to be able to do. They're asked to be able to teach the word of God effectively. They're asked to be able to recognize sound doctrine. In other words, they have to instinctively know that preaching and teaching which agrees with the Bible and which benefits you and I. They have to be able to refute and recognize false doctrine when it begins to creep into the church. They have to be able to take people from the church and teach them the greatest truth in the world in a way that relates to them. But that's not always the easiest. I can remember as I began to mature in my preaching, I asked a man once, I said, how much time do you spend on a message? And he said, well, it's pretty simple. I spend 2 hours of study per minute of preaching. And I thought, wow. And he said, there's men I know that spend more time than that. And so I began to realize that to become an effective preacher, I had to really begin to sharpen and discipline those tools. Well, if you're preaching a 20 or 30 minute sermon, and you're putting 40 hours a week into study, that doesn't leave time for a second job. That doesn't leave time for a lot of other things. And so Paul says, the worker is worthy of his wages. As you have people who are able to bring that word of God, the church has to make the decision to provide for them so that they can provide for the church. Paul indicates scriptures where the church did that for him, and we've continued to do that for ministers over the last 2,000 years. I told you earlier about two churches. A church in California that was riddled with dissension. Another church that was a joy to live with. I want to tell you about a third church. This was a church in Florida that Donna and I were at. And again, it was a church that could have had a lot of problems. Donna and I went there. It was just after the hurricane had hit southern Florida. The church was experiencing a lot of people leaving because no one had figured out the impact of a hurricane for several years after on a tourist economy. And so while we brought many people into the church, for every one person that came into the church, we were losing three people moving out of state, out of town. Their jobs calling them away. It was a situation which could have easily erupted into a lot of tension and division because we saw our numbers literally dwindling by the month. But this is a group of people who rallied around the leaders. They rallied around one another. And rather than letting the outside problems divide them, they allowed the outside problems to make them stronger than ever. Became a church which rallied around each other. The leaders of the church would gather together. We would pray. It became a great blessing. What I'm trying to say is this. Today we have seen that God wants us to respect our leaders, to live at peace with them, and if necessary, provide for them financially. Next week we're going to see that God gives us three additional responsibilities to protect them. In a day and an age of social media, that's very important. To submit to them, probably one of the most difficult things we can do, and to obey them, which is sometimes even more difficult. This message is important because we as members of the church have a choice. How we respond to our leaders makes all the difference as to what type of church we will become. A church that is a blessing to the leaders, to one another, and to those who are coming into the community and into the body of Christ, or a church which God says, you know, for the best of the kingdom, I think I better shut your doors. I know what kind of church I want Babcock Road to be. I want it to be a church which remains open for decades and decades and decades beyond my lifetime. I want it to be a church where our children and our grandchildren are brought into a saving relationship with Jesus. I want it to be a church where as our children grow up and become teenagers, and as our teenagers become up and grow up and become young adults, and then go out on their own, that the lessons and the harmony and the models that they saw reflected here, they will take to other churches and say, that's what we want the church to be like. We have that choice to make. God says, you've got to take care of your leaders. You respect them, you'll live at peace with them, and that's going to be a blessing to you. Let's pray. Father, sometimes we don't hear about leadership. But Father, we need to. I'm thankful for each and every leader in this church. I'm thankful that you have put them into that position of authority. It requires time and sacrifice and energy, and at times there's not much reward. And I just pray that we, the people of this church, will see our leaders as you see them, and that together we will lift them up in such a way that it becomes a pleasure to serve God's kingdom here. Thank you, Father. Be with us. Give us insight and help us dwell on your words this week. We ask in your Son's name. Amen. For an invitation, I just want you to consider that God asks us to be part of his church. Just as he's called leaders to his church, he wants us to belong to his church, belong to his Son. If you have not yet taken that step towards the decision asking Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, if you want to be a part of a church that's going to honor the Lord, we encourage you to come forward and share that decision as we stand and sing our invitation hymn. Let's go ahead and stand.